I'm going to preach about something very simple this morning, but I know it's going to change our lives if we just understand it. I'm one of those preachers, I don't preach at your head, I preach at your heart, okay? When I came to know the Lord a couple of years ago, He said to me that my calling is to open the door for people to receive Jesus. And I was reminded of that a couple of weeks ago again, and I'm actually going to make it very simple this morning by talking about receiving Jesus. And sometimes we think, even as Christians, that we've got a, you know, that we've got a freedom to come to God, to experience Him, and yet many times there are limitations in allowing God to be God in our lives. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to start with a very simple question that when I was in London in Ireland 2 weeks ago, the Lord told me I must ask people for the next while until He tells me to stop. I must ask them a very simple question. And that question is, how big is your God? How big is your God? Not the God of the Bible, not the God of culture, not the God of your past or the future or whatever, but very simply this morning, how big is your God? Don't be quick to answer, because normally we'll have these quick spiritual answers like, yes, my God is so big, He measures the heavens in the palm of His hands, you know. My God is, you know, His glory is all over the earth. We get all these scriptures, and it's great to have these scriptures here, but very simply in our hearts and our perception and our expectation, the question is this morning, how big is your God? Now I want you to think about that. That's your homework for the week. Don't be quick to answer, because very simply, your answer will determine how big God can be. And that's a little bit what we're going to preach about this morning. And be ready, because we're going to make this service is going to be a little bit different. But very simply, how big is your God? How big do you make God, the God of the Bible, in your life today? Not tomorrow or yesterday, because maybe yesterday He was huge. Maybe yesterday He did many miracles for you. But today, how big is He in your life? Are you with me? Turn to somebody next to you and ask them, how big is your God? But don't answer. Don't answer. That's just to sort of settle, start to do something. Okay. We're talking about receiving God, and I'm going to share one story with you. Let's first read this first scripture. And we ask another question. What have we received? In Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8, there's quite a profound but a challenging scripture. I'm going to give us some challenging scriptures today. Is that all right? Because I've got good news. Somebody in this relationship between you and God, somebody's going to change today. And it's not going to be God. It's going to be you and I, okay? Are you ready for that? Great stuff. Thank you for the five of you that are excited. Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8 says, and as you go, this is now Jesus sending His disciples into the world. He says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Pastor Fred spoke about this, about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is happening, and there are lots of things all across the world, whether you go from here or China or India, wherever you go, the kingdom of God is happening. And then he says, when you preach, part of the preaching is to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. How many of you have done that in the last week? Oops. It says, preach the gospel, go into the world, preach the gospel, and do these things. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the demons. Hello. How many of you have done that this past week? Okay, no condemnation this morning. There's going to be some lack of stuff happening today. And then Jesus makes this profound statement. He says, freely you have received, freely give. He says, in the context of this, freely you have received, now freely give. Now another question, I'm going to ask lots of questions today. Not going to necessarily going to give the answer, but now, nobody in this room has done any of that stuff this week, then somewhere it means that there's a blockage. Because we don't see the people healed, we don't see the demons go out, it's not part of our natural life. It's not a lifestyle with the normal Christian today anymore. But Jesus sort of gives us the key, and that's what we're going to focus on a little bit today, is He says, freely you have received, Now freely give. Freely you have received, now freely give. Now let me tell you the story. A little story, two stories actually. The first one happened here at a lady's residence years ago when I studied. I studied BREC or accounting. And what happened is one day we had sort of two classes. We didn't have the classes and it was looking like it's going to start raining heavily. And so I went to this lady with this girl to Hasten Bos because I had to sort out some stuff. We were on a second year committee or for the res together. And so she was sitting there and we were busy talking in the foyer. And she came from northern Namibia, up there. I can't even remember the place's name. It was something like Hubabis or Hubabadu or something like that. So one of these places that you don't find in a map and Google Earth doesn't know about it. You know, that little car is going to take many years to get up there. You know, they have to have a 4x4 to get there. So right up the north there, and she, for 2 years, it hasn't rained in that area where she comes from. So now she came back. It's the first couple of weeks here. It was actually first year's committee because it was right at the beginning when we came here. And now she's the first clouds appear at the rainy season here in Stellenbosch. And so we're sitting there in the res, and the next moment it starts to rain, but like intensely. It just like comes, there's like a downpour of rain. You know, it falls down. And while we're sitting, she's busy writing. The next moment she goes like, oh! And then she listens and she like runs out the front door. You know, and I'm thinking, what on earth? Did we forget a class? You know, all this stuff goes through my mind, but she runs out. And I'm going to, you know, I'm checking and I run, you know, after and I'm thinking, what on earth? What happened now? And then she stands there right in front on the lawn. She stands like this. She says, it's raining. And she gets soaked in this massive downpour of rain. Now, I stand here under this little veranda thing in the door and I'm looking at all these things happening and she's being soaked there under the rain and she just like stands there. And I'm thinking, she's crazy. And then the next moment I'm thinking, this looks like fun. So I go to join her and I go to stand there as well. I think, check her every 2 minutes. And then the Lord said something very powerful to me. He said to me, my love and my fullness is always raining. It's just your position to that, receiving that rain, is going to determine whether you're going to get soaked or not. How are you positioned to receive it? Whether you stand, but if you stand under the roof, you're not going to feel the rain. Because there's a blockage. There's something between the rain falling and you. It's very comfortable if you're in winter and you're sleeping under your duvet. But you understand the picture that I want to draw. Very simply, she ran out because she went to position herself to receive. Hello? Okay, that's what we're talking about today. Your position to receive from God, but especially to receive Jesus. So here Jesus sends his disciples, and he says, freely you have received, now freely give. Hello? Okay. So let's go on a little bit. Now, in Jesus' life, there was a massive challenge. Because people did not receive him because of many reasons, and we're going to look at some of them. But let's look at the first one where a whole nation actually rejected Jesus as the Messiah. So nations can reject him. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus comes to stand over Jerusalem and he weeps over Jerusalem. And he comes to say, he says there, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and he actually prays over the whole nation. He says, you kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you have none of it. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I think it's in Luke where it says, not one stone will be left on one another in Jerusalem, he said, because of your rejection. And then he says, for I tell you, now he speaks over Jerusalem and over this nation. He says, for I tell you, you will not see me from now until you say, blessed is he is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In Matthew it says that, you know, the Lord says, even now, even if you would know the time of your visitation, he says, even if you were open to receive me. And now he says to this nation, he says to the nation, well, very simply, if you are not going to receive me, then very simply, you're not going to see me again until you say these words, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, until you receive me again. Because you need to open up your heart to receive who I am, but you did not because of your boxes or your little stuff or all that stuff. You did not receive me. You know, in our language, in the English language, they're beautiful words that we use, but we actually don't know what they mean. Like words like hello and goodbye. Do you know the root word for goodbye means God be with you? Started in the 1500s. So every time when you say to somebody goodbye and you send them and hello when you receive them, it's got biblical foundations. You bless somebody. You say, I send you and I receive you. Did you know that was Christian? Hello? Very simply, you say, every time you say goodbye, you say, it was actually meant God iweh. Means God be with you. I bless you with the presence of God as we depart till we see each other again. Beautiful stuff even in our language. There's so much Christian stuff that has been lost that we don't know, but it's amazing here. As Jesus sort of prays over this nation, he says, I've got a problem. You did not receive me. And because you did not receive me, this Jerusalem, even the city, is going to be destroyed. And then we see 70 years later, 70 AD, how that whole city was destroyed till its foundation. Everything, there was not one stone left upon one another. When the Romans came in, they destroyed everything. And from there, the Christians had to go out because they even had a holy huddle. It was great for them to be together, but they didn't want to go. So God said, okay, that's not my plan. Persecution is never God's first plan. But you know what? Persecution will come if we don't open up our hearts for Jesus to do what he wants to do through us. Okay, no amens yet, but we're going to get there. So Jesus says to him, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what we're going to say when Jesus comes, and then every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Now sometimes, even the culture, the Jewish culture, and the town where Jesus came from, rejected him. Now let's go and read another. I know I'm starting it with very positive scriptures, but let's get there. Okay, it's going to become better. Okay, just hang on, put on your safety belt. Mark chapter 6, verse 3 to 6. This is now what the people that knew Jesus and were familiar with him, what they said about him. They said, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters with us? And so they took offense at him. And then Jesus said to them, prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own house. He was not able to do a miracle there except to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed because of their unbelief. And then he went around among the villages and taught. So we see in Jesus' own place where he grew up, because of people being familiar with him, people thought that they knew him. And especially where he came from, they sort of put him in a box and they said, well, obviously you can't be the Messiah. Obviously you can't do miracles. Obviously you can't. And then Jesus comes at this place where the scripture says that he marveled. He sort of said, well, these people are just unbelieving. They are not opening. They're resisting me. They're not opening their hearts for me. They don't receive me. And therefore, I cannot do what I want to come and do in their midst because they're not open to receive me for who I really am. Because they think I'm still the brother of this. They still think I'm the carpenter. They've got me right there placed in a little box. And because of that, those boxes and those things, there's actually a limitation on what I can do there. Scripture says just one or two people got healed. There wasn't a freedom for God's fullness to manifest in their midst because of their unbelief. And Scripture says there in the middle that something else happened. They were offended because of him. Says they took offense with him. Because do you know what? Scripture says about Jesus, and we have to make a peace with that. Wherever we go, Jesus will be a stumbling stone and a rock of offense to many people. Because Jesus does not come in the way that people think he must come. So we should not be afraid of the fact that people are going to get offended. You know, the modern church, many churches say we must just be so seeker-sensitive, we must just so love people, that people stop preaching the gospel. But Scripture says very clearly that people are going to get offended. They should never get offended because of us or what we do, but they are going to get offended because of the Word and because of Jesus. Jesus said it. If it happened to me, it's going to happen to you. Sometimes people are going to get offended with us as well, but that's when we preach the gospel. They should not get offended because we're trying to be loveless or we're trying to do Bible bash them or anything like that. But we should not be surprised when people don't receive Jesus. Hello? Do you agree with me? Then just nod your head today. If everybody loves us and everybody thinks we're great, then we're not preaching the gospel. It's as simple as that. People will get offended because of the truth. And that truth is a person, Jesus. And people will sometimes, you know, it's like when we were in England, and I was very shocked because I don't think Africa is the dark continent anymore. I think England and Europe is. Because one day we walked up to this lady and we were doing sort of treasure hunting where we trusted God for words for people. And we walked up to this lady and God showed us. It was actually very, very funny because we were three people in a group that did not come from London. And so we prayed and then God had to show us words and stuff, tell us about who we must reach. And so here we pray and the Lord says to us, well, he gave two of us the name Paul. And then he gave us a lady with a yellow jacket and specific stuff about a person that we had to go and meet. So we haven't got a clue. So now we sit there, and then Jakob Prinsloo, one of the pastors there in our London congregation, he came to us and he said, well, you're missing it a little bit because Paul is a coffee shop's name in the middle, in the center of London, there in Wimbledon. So he said, oh, thank you, great, because we were thinking Paul was a guy, but now God obviously said to us, no, it's a coffee shop. So here we go to the coffee shop, find the exact lady there, walk up to her, she's got asthma problems, all that stuff, and says, lady, you know, the Lord showed to us, you are our treasure. God loves you and he wants to deal with you, wants to heal you today. And then she stood there, said, thank you, but I don't need prayer. I said, but have you got asthma problems? Yes. But I don't need prayer. I said, don't you want somebody to help you to get rid of that and that loneliness in your life? She said, no, thank you. I'll consider it. She got on the bus and there she went. I stood there flabbergasted. Is that a word, English word? Like, yeah, God comes, Jesus comes, and this lady rejects Jesus. But you know what? That's going to happen sometimes. Because people build their own stuff and do their own things. And that's what happened with Jesus. Yeah, he says he couldn't do many miracles there because they could not receive him. Okay, are you still with me? Woo, lucky. Now we're going to get to a tough scripture. Some individuals reject Jesus, and still today, some people in the church reject Jesus, but in a specific way. And this is a bit of a tough one. But we have to share scripture with you. Are you ready for this one? It says there, let's read that one. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. I believe this is one of the biggest single reasons why we don't see the fullness of God manifest in the earth today through the church. Because Jesus denies Christians before the Father because they deny him out in the world. There's no way we can get around that scripture. There's a breakdown in this flow between God and us and the world, very simply, because the breakdown, the blockage of the rain coming through is very simply, many times, in the Christian's heart. It's called the fear of man. The opinion of man, or our own comfort, or all this stuff. And I said it to a group of people a week ago, I said, we've been made to die. God made us to die and deny ourselves. He's given you that capacity. It's actually the easiest thing to do. It's not this hard thing, oh, you know. But we've been made not to be worshipped. We've not been made to take stuff to ourselves and hold it for ourselves. We've been made to what we've received freely, to give it freely. Just like a pipe, we should be this massive pipe that just everything just flows through. There's just like a flowing through. But the moment when there's a blockage in between, then something happens. The flow stops from the Father. And then we can continue in religion and go on and on and on. But there's no more rain falling because there's a roof between us and God. And that's why many people experience God as a massive up there God, struggle to hear His voice, all that stuff. Not because God doesn't speak. Is this a bit of a hard scripture this morning? Lekker, lekker. But that's why we're here, because we want God to change us. I don't know about you, but I want to have a free flow of God. I want everything just to come through, and I just want to give it away. I just want to, wherever I go, I want to see God's things happen in my life and through my life. Anybody want to join me? No, I know that's why we're here this morning. But the problem is that, and we must be honest with that, is there's a fear and there's a something that sometimes where Jesus says, well, if you're going to deny me, I'm not going to ask God the Father to open up the heavens for you. I'm not going to let, because then it's going to become a selfish thing. It's going to be about you, and you're going to take my worship. Because then you're going to allow people to worship you. Okay. Okay, it's very quiet in the place this morning, but that's great. But Jesus said it, I'm going to deny you. But the contrary is amazing. He says, when you confess me before men, when you start to live a life where you start to give and you start to share and you start to release and you start to tell people, that's why testimony and celebration of what Jesus has done in your life is so important. When God has done something, tell the whole world about it, even if it's just something small. Just tell the world about it. Because the moment when that happens, there's a great free flow coming from God, just more coming. He's going to bless you so out of your socks that you have 10 pairs of socks, okay? But that's why when we get to our families, when God has a small thing, celebrate it. Celebrate God and celebrate Christ. Okay, are you with me? Let's look at Jesus' example. Lekker. Let me tell you another story. You know, we were in Ireland. I was there with Angus 2 weeks ago and then went to London. And the most amazing thing, one of those moments that just again changed my life, we were there in this massive place and there were 14 bomb scares the afternoon. So we thought nobody's going to pitch the evening, and 4,500 people pitched, even more, in Belfast. And there's a negativity between just the Protestants and the Catholics. They've been fighting for years, and the whole place was full of Protestants and Catholics. God did the most amazing stuff there. And right at the end, the second night, this lady came running to us, and then I recognized her, because 2 years ago, she was in Ireland. She came to Salvation when we were in a little place called Fintana, and there were only 2,000 people living in this place, and 3,000 people pitched for the meetings. Right? We still don't know where the other 1,000 people came from. But this lady was a gypsy. She's a prostitute. She was. And she came through the town, and she had a dream that evening when she stopped there. She had a dream that she must go and look for a certain Angus Buchan, you know. And so the next morning, that's now 2 years ago, the next morning when she walked into the pub, and after her third beer, she realized, you know, she remembered the dream that she dreamt. So she thought about, yeah, okay, great. So she asked the bartender, she said, is there an Angus Buchan around here? You know, do you know? Because this, I must find this man, because I dreamt that he's going to tell me what I must do with my life. So he said, no, he doesn't know about a person like that. But she must just walk down the road, because there's like 500 meters down the road, there's a poster. Maybe he thought about this. There's somebody speaking in this horse stable place, and maybe she must go. So here she goes down out of the pub, down the road, and she gets to this poster. She sees this poster, and oh, here's Angus Buchan. So she comes that evening. She comes to the horse stable place, and she gets saved. Gives her life to Christ. Most amazing thing happened right there. Afterwards, like we've got a prayer meeting. Afterwards, somebody comes bursting through the doors. It's this lady. She comes, stands there. She says, I was a prostitute, but I came to meet Jesus, and you told me all things that I must do with my life, and I just want to tell you, here I am, I'm going to follow him. I'm a gypsy girl, you know, and you know, then all the religion, you know, that scripture that just says, I look up to the mountains, because the lady didn't wear too much clothes. Look up to the mountains, where shall my help come from? You know, all the men are just like staring out there, you know, because this lady is not like the prim and proper type, you know. So To make a long story short, now, 3 weeks ago, after the second meeting, here comes this lady, but she's got 20 other people with her. And she, you know, all the security guards, the people are standing there, and we need to get down, back down the stage. So we walk down the stage around the side, and there are lots of people there, but she hasn't got a sock. Yeah, she goes right through the crowds, barges through the security guards with the 20 people, she says, because she must speak to Angus Buchan now. So she walks through, she comes there, you know, and the security guards just give way, and you're with her whole entourage. Now we stand there, the most beautiful thing, and she says, oh, and this is Lindy. Let me tell you, Lindy has been in prostitution for 13 years, but she's committed her life to Christ. And this lady here, the baby died in a womb yesterday, but we're praying for her, and you must lay your hands on her right now. And this lady here, and now she's got this whole group of prostitute gypsy ladies standing there, still all half, not very well dressed like we, you know, the type of people we won't always allow in church. But they're all standing there, and they're weeping, and half of them committed their lives to Christ again. You see, there's the most amazing thing, but you know, they're so... There's such an openness just to receive and to give away, but they haven't got a sock with the protocol. They haven't got a sock with the security guard. So the one security guard comes over and says, no, you're making too much noise. She says, shh, we're busy with the things of God here, you know. But she goes, actually, we're busy with the things of God here, shh, you man. And then she goes on and she describes all this stuff and she cries and she weeps. And I think, hallelujah, that's what church is about. But let me tell you honestly, that sometimes people like that won't feel welcome in our midst because we'll give them the stare. All the things are hanging out that's not supposed to hang out. She's not genuinely saved. Yeah? But it was just taught me such a lesson again about somebody that's open to receive from Jesus. Now let's read a story about that. Mark chapter 14. And now while Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of costly aromatic oil from pure nard. After breaking open the jar, she poured it on his head. But some who were present indignantly said to one another, they were angry. They said, why this waste of expensive ointment? It could have been sold for more than 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor. So they spoke angrily to her. They even got very angry because this is not supposed to happen now. Verse 6, but Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a good service for me. For you will always have the poor with you, and you can do good for them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. And she did what she could. She anointed my body beforehand for burial. I tell you the truth. Now listen to what Jesus does when somebody comes. He received this lady, and somebody came to celebrate him. Somebody, because Simon forgot to wash Jesus' feet. Simon forgot to anoint his oil. Because Simon did like everything else that seemed religious. But yeah, listen what Jesus says about this woman that came in to come and bless him, to receive Jesus. He says, I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. I love this. Jesus says, for the rest of history, whenever the gospel is going to be preached, people are going to hear about what this woman has done. Because she did something and she understood something about receiving me, where the nation and the culture and the place where I came from, everybody else rejected me, but she understood something about me. And she received me. She opened up to receive me for who I am. And therefore, I'm going to honor her. I'm going to tell you the whole world. Everybody that's going to live forever is going to hear about this woman. It's going to be recorded in history. I like that. Hello. Now, where are we going to get to? This is now just the introduction. So we're going to get to something now. In John chapter 13, something very profound happened. Before Jesus goes to the cross, there's one thing that he did. Two things. One is a sacrament that we don't have time to focus on today, but the other one I'm going to focus on a little bit today. The one was communion, and the other one is the one that we're going to read about now. It says in John 13, because Jesus knew that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he got up from the meal. So very simply, Jesus did something because he knew something. Jesus knew that there was an openness between him and God the Father. He says, because he came from God, because God has sent him, God received him. God blessed him. And because of a certain relationship and an openness with God, he went to do something. So it's not about the ritual, but it's about an open heaven with God. Because Jesus was secure, Jesus was celebrated. We see that God the Father opened the heavens three times. Actually, three times he spoke audibly to Jesus. Two times, the first one he said, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. And the second time he told the people around him, listen to him. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He proclaimed and confirmed the message that Jesus would bring. So God blessed his son Jesus. And Jesus was in a secure place with God the Father, and therefore he did something. He got up from the meal, removed his outer clothes, took a towel and tied it around himself. He poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel he had wrapped around himself. And then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you do not understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand after these things. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, if I do not wash you, you have no share in me. Woo. You've got no part in me. You cannot partake of my fullness, and you will not understand where I'm going and what's going to start to happen if I don't do this, what I'm doing right now. Peter, that typical pride, no, Jesus, never. You know, he just said what most of the rest of us would have thought, okay? He just said, never, you're never going to do this. What? No, not over my dead body. There's not a chance. And then the second thing that happened, you know, Jesus says to him, well, very simply, if you're not going to do that, you cannot have part of me. You won't understand the kingdom. You will never have that full open skies between me and you if you don't understand this, if you don't open up, you don't allow me to do this. Then verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus replied, the one who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And your disciples are clean, but not every one of you is sent me. So now Peter, obviously, is the next thing. The next thing is we say, okay, let's get religious. Jesus, not just my feet. You need to wash everything, because now we get into condemnation. We sort of say, oh, okay, there's something in me that must be perfect. You know, something in me must be always like, I must do it, I must make it, you know, because now it's all about me doing it. And Jesus says, no, Peter, just relax. This is not about you doing lots of stuff. It's very simply about in your heart, is there openness to receive me? Because in your heart, Peter, this is the thing I want to get to. There's this thing that still resists me for who I am. I am the humble servant. I'm the one who came to lay down my life, and you need to receive this. And that's why I'm just going to wash your feet, because it was a very simple thing. But you guys can go so long. They're going to do the prophetic dance now. So very simply, he said, as we open up our hearts to receive, something begins to happen when we receive Jesus for who he really is. But when you say that and when you pray that, something challenging is going to happen. You're going to need to let go. You're going to need to sort of surrender. You're going to need to say, okay, God, I don't understand what you're doing right now. Everything doesn't make sense to me right now. But Lord, one thing I know is when you want to come, if I open up my heart, and that's why Jesus would deal with his disciples, because many other people rejected him, but he said, if we as the children of God would receive him, then something is going to happen. It's going to open the door to our communities and to our nation. The scripture says, if we humble ourselves, we turn from our wicked ways and turn to God, then God will come in and heal our land. Then there's a freedom to move, a freedom to do stuff when something happens in the believer's life, an openness to receive Jesus. The question is just, do we really receive him into our homes? Do we receive him into our lives and into our workplace, wherever we go? Or do we just receive Jesus when we get into a worship service or when we go to small group? Jesus allowed to be Jesus everywhere you go. Are you with me this morning? Hello. Some people stare at me, but lekker, we're going to get there now. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, you should do just as I've done for you. I tell you the solemn truth, the slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent as a messenger greater than the one who sent me. If you understand these things, you will be blessed if you do them. What I'm saying does not refer to all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the scripture. The one who eats my bread has turned against me. Verse 19. I'm telling you this now before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe that I'm he. I tell you the solemn truth. Listen to this. Verse 20. I tell you the solemn truth, the absolute truth, he says. Whoever accepts the one I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. So Jesus comes to a place where he says, look here, if you understand what's happening here, if you open up your heart and you begin to say to Jesus, Jesus, here I am, I receive you. Not just as my Savior, but as my healer, as my deliverer, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why worship is so important. Because the moment when we worship, we proclaim who he is over our lives. We receive him as that in our lives. So we should never stop worshiping. The moment when you stop proclaiming the truth of who Christ is in your life, then there will be like a challenge. Because the devil will bring accusation and condemnation and all that stuff. Because then it's going to be a focus on yourself or how you must change. But when we worship him, there's a freedom just to be and to say, okay, God, you can be this. You are the Savior of the world. You know, when we do these SOS, the School of the Supernatural training, I'm shocked. Just in the shofar churches, I am shocked when I ask people, how many of you have got a confidence to hear the voice of God? 50% of people will not raise their hand. Then the second question I normally ask is, I say, okay, how many of you are sick here today? More than 50% of people in the church would raise their hands. Sick or you've got pains in your body somewhere. And a couple of weeks ago, the Lord said to me very simply, well, very simply, the reason why the church is sick is because people don't preach me as a healer anymore and therefore I don't heal in the church. Just in the church. I'm not talking about the world. Let's ask quickly. How many of you here today, you've got a pain in your body or you're sick in some sort of way? Raise your hand. Just be honest. No, raise it very high. Okay. Raise. Don't, no, half masses. Okay. About 30%. A third of the people here. See, if we don't preach Jesus as a healer, if we don't receive him as a healer, he won't heal. Why? Because it's as simple as that. If you don't get to your workplace and you open up your door every morning and you say to God, okay, God, you're the boss here. You tell me what to do. Do you know what? If we don't receive him as that, it won't happen in our lives. And that's why we must take communion as often, Scripture says, because we must remind ourselves of what he has done. We must receive him as the one who died on the cross. That's why Scripture says it's not just for church, it is for every day. We must take communion every day. It's one of the sacraments that God has given. Why? Because he says in that, you remind yourself of what I've done. So you receive me as the Savior. You receive me as the healer. And then the other thing, the other two things that happened here is the washing of the feet. It's not a sacrament. So Scripture doesn't say we must do it often. But we're going to do it this morning. Because something is going to break in our hearts just to acknowledge who Christ is. And we're going to do two things. We're going to receive a baby today. We're going to pray for Kurt and Magli's baby. And then we're going to wash people's feet. And we're going to start with all the people that are older than 45 years of age. I don't know how many have made the cut. Okay. The 44 and a half says, oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay. But I said we're going to start there. Okay. Because I believe something is going to break today. Because Jesus said, doesn't say go and do it every day. He said very simply, this attitude of receiving God and telling him, because that's all I'm saying these days when I pray. I just say, God, I really don't have a clue, because you're bigger than my thoughts, you're bigger than my life, but Lord, I receive what you have done in my life. And you know, so many times somebody prays for you for healing, and then you don't get healed immediately, you walk off, and then you say, oh, okay, the healing didn't happen. No, very simply, you need to receive the healing. You need to thank God for the healing. That's why Jesus, when he comes to blind Bartimaeus, he stands before blind Bartimaeus, and he says, okay, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you today? And then Bartimaeus say, Lord, I am blind. I want to see. Because Jesus wanted him to receive. He wanted him to trust. And that is what faith is about. Every time, you know, the biggest fight that Jesus had with his disciples was around one thing. He always said to them, why have you got so little faith? It was around the issue of unbelief. Because people did not receive him for who he was. I want to ask you, what does your Bible say about God and how big is your God? Because if we do something, if something happens in our hearts and we begin to say to God who he really is, there'll be a domino effect through our nation. If one person in this room would stand up today and say, my God is able to save, to heal, to deliver this nation in one day, you know it's going to happen. Because God is just looking for one man. There's more than one person in this room this morning. But it's all about how big is the God in your heart today. Are you receiving him? Is there a flow? Are you standing under the water of the rain of the open heavens of God? Or are you fighting with God all the time and say, oh God, and then you're looking to yourself because you're trying to fix yourself and you're looking at all the wrong stuff in your own life because you think you must be perfect. It's not about that at all. Because that was Peter's problem. Peter wanted to be perfect. Then Jesus said to him, Peter, stop. I'm not looking for perfection. All I want is I want you to receive me, but for who I really am, so that I can be free to come and change you. I can be free to come and heal you. And then right after the washing came the communion. And then Jesus went to the cross, because then he realized the disciples, they've got it. Not 100%. He's not looking for perfection, but he did something in their hearts and then they received him. Because that later Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Because Jesus asked him, he said, who do you say that I am? And the moment when he said that, the moment there was a freedom to do that. Okay. Laka. Now we're beginning the service this morning. Now I know some ladies here, yay, talk miskin psychos on. Okay. You've got side stuff. Whatever you mean. Stockings, is that right? Side stockings. Let's use a new skipper. Okay. But if you've got stuff on that you can't take off, then that is fine, but then the people are still going to pray for you. Because we want to bless you, and for some of us, it's going to be hard. We're going to start with people that are older here, because it's just young people here that are going to wash your feet. And it's going to be difficult for some of us to receive, but they're going to celebrate you for who you are and who God has made you. And then the second group of people whose feet we're going to wash is very simply people that don't feel celebrated. You don't feel worth anything in this life. And you feel like, well, I don't have anything to give. And you've fallen for that lie that you're not useful and you're not worthy of something, or you're not worthy to be anybody, because you're really not, you don't count in God's ways. I just want to remind you this morning that Jesus chose 12 very ordinary, toothless people, fishermen that were clueless. He did not choose the wealthy and the mighty and the people from the University of Jerusalem. Hello. Everybody in Scripture that Jesus chose to use were washouts. They were losers. Abraham was an idolater, a pagan worshiper. Moses was clueless. He didn't want to say what God wanted him to say. Jacob schemed all the way. David, Mechona. He killed and did lots of other things. Look at the disciples. Look at Paul, killed people. You know, if I read my Bible, I look at a lot of washouts that an almighty God came to wash their feet and said, I have got a plan. I want you to be part of that. I want to celebrate you, but you first need to receive me. Abram, you first need to get out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. You first need to get out of your place. Get out of the roof, from under the roof. Run to where the rain is. Stand under the rain and just say, Lord, I haven't got a clue, but all I know, this is going to be fun. Hello. Quickly, I need the first 12 volunteers. All of you people older than 45, come quickly. I want the band to come up. We're not going to start immediately. We're going to first pray. I want you to come and sit in the front row. If you can take off your shoes, start to do that. If it stinks a little bit, then we've got odor, nice stuff here. Okay, al twee voete, ons doen dit reg. Ons gaan nie gesig was of enige sulke goed nie. Okay, I want all those people to go and sit. You can sit right in the front row, anywhere you want to in the front row. They're going to come around to you. Okay, we're not going to start yet, guys, ladies. We're not going to start immediately. Okay, if you're a visitor here, please don't feel under any obligation. But I just felt, I'm just obedient to what God said. I just felt especially that we need to do something prophetic in the church here. Because sometimes older people, we feel, and I'll include myself here, we feel intimidated by youth or younger people or whatever. But I want to tell you, somebody said the other day, it says that when it's a Japanese or a Chinese proverb, it says, when an old man dies, it's like a library that burns down. And I want to tell you that what God is about to do in this nation, it's many times going to happen through younger people, but it's going to fade away if older people do not believe they've got something to give. And we're here to celebrate you today. We want to bless you. We want to honor you. There's lots of responsibilities and things that's on your shoulders. But I want to tell you that you are God's champions. You're the generals and the general lines. Whatever that is in womanhood. Okay? But we want to celebrate you. And we're going to pray that today God will loosen something in your heart, a capacity to give. And we're doing it prophetically. Because even in our society, what happens is we take people and we put them in the old age homes. And that is the biggest hogwash that will not happen in the church. Because it's not supposed to happen. That all the wisdom, all the stuff that God has given older people gets locked up into an old age home. In the church of Jesus Christ, the hearts of the fathers will turn to the children, and the hearts of the children will turn to the fathers. And we'll see a revival that will last till Jesus comes back. And today, I just believe we need to do this prophetically so that we can break this negative cycle in the church in the West, but especially here, that God will start to do something that will create a family. We've been speaking about family, and we've been speaking about the grace of God. So that you just have the favor of God over your life in so many ways that you can just give and release. And when you pray for somebody, they're going to get healed. So Machli, will you and Kurt come up? Because as we're going to do this, we're also going to receive this baby, the youngest and the oldest. And we're going to celebrate. So Father, this morning, we come before we're going to wash these feet. We want to thank you. We want to thank you for these amazing people. Everybody that's sitting here, Lord, and everybody, all the families that they represent, all the young people that is represented here, Lord. You know our heart's desires, Lord. You know even the prayers in the middle of the night, Lord, for these older, these moms and dads, Lord, that are just sometimes think about wasted opportunities. But today we pray that all those things will be removed so that only you, Christ, Jesus, we receive you. So today we receive these people, God. We celebrate them and we thank you for the freedom of your celebration. Hallelujah. I want these guys to start washing and then we're going to receive Isabella. Just show her to the people, Kurt. Oh, can the cameras zoom in? Fast asleep. And you know, part of the thing, and I want us, when we take communion with our families, I want some of us to go and do this at home, wash each other's feet, and begin to celebrate the people that God has given you. Because this is a gift from God. This girl is going to change the world. Why? Because we receive her in the name of Jesus. And we're going to break every assignment over her. And are you, the two of you, as we know you, but we're going to ask you in any case, are you going to train her in the way that she should go? Are you willing to be responsible before God for her? Kurt? Machli? Because she belongs to God. She does not belong to you. She's a gift from God to the two of you. And this morning we're going to receive her as that gift. And she's going to bring you lots of joy. And we're going to pray for her and we're going to pray for you. And as a family, we want to say we're proud of you. And we're going to say we're here with you. Because she's our daughter as well. And we are so excited about what she's going to do in your lives and in this world. She's the next generation that's going to see. And Machli, I felt that as I was praying for you specifically, that God is going to restore in your relationship with her, God is going to restore and bring a prophetic mantle that is going to bring such a release and a restoration between many people and people groups and cultures. And she's going to challenge you a lot because you're going to need to open, and Kurt, you're going to need to open up your heart because God is going to make you mommies and daddies, not just for the natural kids that you have, but for kids that are really like out there that are clueless. And so you better open up your hearts. You better open up because God is going to give you a capacity today to receive people, but especially through cultural lines. There's going to be no race, there's going to be no cultural lines. God is going to use your relationship to break the yoke of the oppressor. And many people are going to be set free because of your relationship with her and your relationship with one another. And that's why you need to love each other. That's the best thing you can do for her, is love each other. Amen? So we're going to pray for her. Andresa, you're going to start and then first, you can. I think what you need to do is you thank God for her, receive her from God, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to, just as part of the family, pray for her. Amen.
Yes, Father God, I thank you for Isabella. Thank you that she is a gift straight from your heart into our lives, Father God, and I thank you for that. I thank you for the blessing that you will be in our household, and as Pastor C.S. has said, that for anybody who comes in contact with her, I thank you that you will give us the capacity to love her the way you love us. That it's not reliant on our emotional stability or where we are, but it's just about tapping into your heart for her, Father God. And I pray that it will transcend any worldly parenting course or anything like that, but it will come straight from you, and that we will be able to share that heart with her, Father God, that she'll never doubt that she's loved beyond, just her parents, that she'll always know, Father God, your love for her and your heart for her, and that'll give her the capacity to go on and touch lives in the world. And when she has friends, they will always see her as being this stable young lady, this stable woman because she's so secure in you, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that. And I just pray for, to just the capacity to continue loving, even in the difficult times, Father God. Thank you that we can know that you are still there with us and that you will give us, just the tools that we need to raise a, in your way, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Father, we thank you for this family, Lord. We thank you for Isabella, Lord, that you have added to this wonderful family, Lord. We pray that you will bless them as a family, Lord. We pray that you would draw them closer to each other, Lord, that Isabella might grow in an environment where she knows love, she knows faithfulness, she knows hope because what she sees in her parents, Lord. And we pray for Isabella, Lord. We pray that you would grant her the ability to see the way you see, God. That she'll be able to look at people, Lord, and see people the way you see them, Lord. That she will not look at the outward, but that she will be able to see the inward, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that she'll be able to draw many to you, God, because of the way she sees people. And we pray that you'll give her that ability, Lord, not just to see, but also to speak what she sees, Lord. And that many will turn to you because of those words, Lord, that is from your heart. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Father, we just want to thank you for the prophetic mantle on her life. And as a family, we receive her, Lord. We receive her as a gift from you. Thank you, Lord, that she will know the seasons and the change of the seasons. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, she will be a sort of a game player, Lord, an impact player. She'll go in, Lord, and it seems like even in the last moments, Lord, she will turn the game around, Lord. Because when she comes, Lord, there will be an anointing to break yokes. And Lord, there will be some people that will be jealous, Lord, because it always seems like she's two steps ahead. But thank you, Lord, for your favor on her life. Thank you, Lord, that she will know you in a coming in and in a going out. Thank you that she will be the head and not the tail. Thank you that you will make the crooked places straight and you lift up the valleys and lower the mountains before them and before her. Thank you, Lord, that she will be known as your favored one. Lord, that the wells will spring up wherever she goes because of your hand on her life. Lord, she will see dreams and visions from a young age, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that her spiritual eyes will open up and she will see, Lord, the things to come, Lord. And we thank you for that sharpness that you're going to give her. And we pray for a grace, Lord, for these parents, Lord, to understand her, to walk with her, Lord. We pray for that grace in Jesus' name alone. Like I said, the service has just started. And I'm trusting that God will break something over our lives. So what we're going to do is I'm going to call out a couple of people. And if you don't want to come, that's fine. But I just feel that God wants to do something in our hearts to receive each other. And there's such a freedom when we begin to open up our hearts for Jesus. Tannie Helen, was jy al hiervoor? Tannie Helen, was jy al hiervoor? Ok. Voete nie te kielere gewees nie. Ok, I want some young people here. What's your name? Michael. Michael, will you come? Great stuff. Liam, you two guys, you come. The two of you there, the two girls there, come quickly. Elsha? Okay, you just go and sit in front and we're going to wash your feet. Is that all right? We're going to just bless you because young and old, God wants to bless all of you. I want that guy there on the point. Oh, long sleeves. What is your name? That one? What is your name? Yes. Brian. Brian, I just felt the Lord said to you that that you've really got a heart to seek Him. But He wants to use you in ways that are just beyond your natural capacity. And you need to ask Him very serious questions. And as you're going to search for Him, you're going to find Him. Because He's called you to be a worshiper. But He wants to release you in a place where you'll see Him for who He really is. And today, you must just ask Him. So we want to wash your feet as well. Is that all right? come to the front. Is that all right? I want some people. We're going to get, we've got the young, we've got the old. Now I want some black people. It's not nothing to do with race. It's just that's what the body of Christ is about. I want some black volunteers or colored people. Okay? I want you to come in because we're going to do something also prophetically to receive you, not just in the church, but in the nation, and to bless you. So I need about 3 or 4 volunteers. Are there any of you that want to come? Nothing, it's not a racial thing. It's just about celebration. Is that all right? Why don't you come? If you just want to stand in. And then I need some black people, I need some colored people, I need some yellow people, and I need some white people. And I need some blue people. Okay. Why don't you come quickly? And I want to do this. Somewhere I've got a kum as well. I don't know where it is, but why don't you come? Just come and find a place. Come and sit here in front. Okay. The next, why don't you just sit? We're gonna get around to you. I need 3 or 4 people that, not that I've been asked, but I want you to come and wash their feet. Some white people to come and wash their feet. Okay. Come quickly. You can be two together. I want you to come and stand in because we're just doing something prophetic as what the church should be today. And then also want some people, if you feel that you have never been celebrated, meaning that you want just that release over your life, then I want you to come to the front as well. We're going to stand now. We're not finished yet. We haven't started, like I said. We're only finishing at 11. So this is part of the service. It doesn't feel too spiritual, but it's very spiritual. So we're going to sing 2 songs. And while we're singing those songs and worshiping God, what we're going to do at the end is we're going to say to Jesus, we're going to receive Jesus. We're going to say to Him, Lord, we give You a blank check. We receive You into our families, into our homes, into our lives, so that You can come and do what You want to do. Because what God is about to do is going to transcend our natural capacity. And therefore, we need to say to Him, Lord, we are open to receive that. Okay, so let's stand as we're going to just worship God. But if nobody has ever celebrated you, and especially if you haven't got parents here today, then we'd love to pray with you. Will you stand as we're going to just worship together?